Barbara, now turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. Don read to us a minute ago these two verses in our text today as we're going through a series in the book of Proverbs called My Son, and be a number of different things as we learn from this book. And I've titled this morning's message, Be Chastised. Doesn't sound too great, does it? But yet that's exactly what the author here, Solomon, is telling us in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Will you do something with me and hold your place there and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12? These verses in Proverbs sound familiar to you because you're familiar with the words in Hebrews 12. There, the writer of the book of Hebrews quotes these two verses and then expands on them. He does it out of inspiration, of course. He's a Bible writer too. But in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, the writer there says this to us, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." Then here's the quotation, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And so he quotes Proverbs, expanding on it a little bit, but again, because of writing under inspiration, the Holy Spirit's leading him to do that. And then he goes on with further explanation. "If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof we are all partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not, much rather, be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily they," that is our earthly fathers, "for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he," that is God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And he goes on with further explanation too. And so these familiar words, again, we read in Proverbs the original quotation and the original words, which are kind of short. Now, I think it's true that especially as we think of a word like chastising, we don't think we enjoy that too much, do we? You remember the times perhaps when your parents chastised you, maybe with a switch or maybe with some kind of a punishment. Some translations, and rightfully so too, put in the word disciplining. And maybe to our English ears, that's good because chastising in the biblical sense is disciplining. There's positive and there's negative. Disciplining, of course, has to be both ways. You have to encourage and sometimes discourage a wrong behavior. And so that's what chastising means. I hope that your parents did. I mean, I hope that you look back over your life and realize what a blessing it was for those people in your life to chasten you, to train you, to discipline you. There's no doubt that it's not a pretty thing to see young people become adults and not be able to take discipline and not be able to take correction. And when we see that kind of happen, it's kind of sorry, and really the blame is not so much theirs as those who trained them, because we should be trained by our parents and by all others, teachers and coaches and people like that, to take the positive and the negative, to take the good times and the hard times, and then learn from these things. Well, here in Proverbs chapter 3, as with all of our texts, when we find this expression, "my son," as Solomon's writing to his son Rehoboam, who will become the king after him, and in a way, God is writing to all of us when he says, "my son," it is written primarily to believers, and he's speaking unto us as God's children, those who know God as Father and Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, if you be without God's chastising, it's probably because you're not his son, you're not his child. And so he's writing to believers in that sense. And yet, though God is a faithful Father, let me say also that in a very real way, all human beings are under the chastisement of God. I mean, God is the creator of us all. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, and God loves every human being and wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But because of sin in this world, we're all under chastising. And God told Adam and Eve that. Well, the first way is that we grow old and die. And I think we all know that, don't we? And God said to Adam and Eve, when you disobey me, then I'm going to discipline you. And the way I'm going to do that is, you shall die. And you know what? We're still dying. And it's been a long time since God said that to Adam and Eve. Another way is that this is a broken world. There's pain, there's suffering, there's wrongdoing, there's injustice in this world. And why is that? God's fault? No, our fault. And through it all, God is teaching us and chastising us, if you will, because of that sin. As a matter of fact, as far as the whole world goes, there is a judgment after this life. And there is a heaven and a hell after this life. And God's chastisement continues on into eternity. And so in a very real way, God is chastising the whole world. But for the believer, for those who know God through Jesus Christ, there's something special in this. Because if you know the Lord as your Savior, if you've come to Him with your sin and asked forgiveness and Jesus Christ has forgiven you, you've become a child of God. And you were not that before. Strange thing, isn't it? God is your creator. You're made in the image and likeness of God, but you're lost in trespasses and sin. And so to come to know Christ as Savior then is to be taken out of that world of darkness and put into a world of light. God's wrath is removed then from you. That's what the New Testament calls propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. The wrath-removing sacrifice of Christ. And so you as a child of God have had that wrath of God removed from you. And then He put His Holy Spirit inside you. And that Holy Spirit is your resident teacher. It is the voice of God inside you. Now it takes your conscience and trains it correctly and rightly and teaches you. And so God, all throughout your life as a believer, God is training you. Now let me say again about this word chastisement so you remember, and I know I've said this before, the Greek word for chastisement is paideia, or paideia, we say in English, and so it becomes the word for child training. Pediatrics is taking care of children. Encyclopedia means you put the child under the A to Z cycle of training. And so we use this word paideia, but we use it in a good way, and that is there's some positive and there's some negative here. And just as you raised your children, there are times you had to discipline them, we say, negatively. That's good. They need it. And then there are times when children need encouragement and positive words and to be built up. And so all of that goes into child training. So God is training us. And why is He doing it? Believers, number one, for witness. We need to be taking His word and His testimony to this world. They see Christ in us. And we have enough negative examples in this world. We don't need to add to them. We need to be displaying the life of Christ as best we can. He does it for our benefit, too. He does it so that you know how to enjoy life, so that you know how to enjoy Him, so that you know how to take this world with all of its negatives in it and understand that God is still in control. And by the way, He does it for eternity, because in eternity, you are going to live next to God. In eternity, you're going to be like Jesus Christ. And why not love that now? Why not want to be like that now? When we die, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that day. So He's chastising us. He's planning out our life, if you will. You know, good planners chastise themselves. I've noticed that. Are you a good planner? I've kind of noticed that the ladies are better planners than men. Why is that? You know, I mean, they have a fellowship and they work on it for about 6 months. The men have a fellowship and we think about it the night before, you know. But ladies are good at it. And, you know, the Bible says to be long-suffering. And you want proof of it? You want proof of it? Well, we aren't to Mother's Day yet, are we? Next Sunday's Mother's Day. And you ladies will get a handmade gift by the ladies of this church next Sunday. But did you see in your bulletin that this Tuesday, they're already working on what? On Father's Day. And we aren't even to Mother's Day yet. I mean, I'm not even thinking June yet. They're already thinking Father's Day. Why? Because, sorry guys, women just plan better than men. They're good planners. But my point is, you know what they're doing? They're chastising themselves. They're going to meet and work all day long, and then they're going to think of this, and they're going to cut that out, and they're going to put this together and so forth because they're planning. Well, really, if we would look at God's chastising of us throughout our lives, we would realize that He's planning ahead, and He's designing us for the future, and He's working on us for the rest of our lives so that we will have the things that we need to have. So if you'll follow me through these two verses, and in your bulletin, there's a simple outline in these two verses if you want to follow with me. We're going to just take the short version, of course, in Proverbs 3 in these two verses. And two things. In verse 11, we get a perspective from the human point of view, from us, from our point of view, our perspective. And then secondly, in verse 12, then we talk about God's perspective, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So first, in verse 11, he says, my son. Now, this has been the key of the messages that we've had. Notice in chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son. Matter of fact, 3:21, my son. So these are directed toward believers. And as the Bible speaks about this, of course, ladies, of course, you know how to take that too in the Bible, that God is speaking to you as children. So that's a prerequisite. Because even Hebrews told us, if this isn't happening in your life, it's because you're not a child of God. God is training you. God is chastising you in various different ways. And so non-sons, non-children would despise it. They would become weary, as this verse says. And non-believers not only become weary about it so quickly that they leave. And they get out from under God's training, and they don't want to be around it. You know how God is doing it? You know what tools He's using in your life? I say this often, the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Word of God in your hand, right? And let me add a third one, the local church in your life. That's how God is doing this through His Word, through His Spirit, through rubbing shoulders with other believers. God is doing this in your life. So my son, my child, you might say. Number one, we should not despise it then. From our perspective, notice again, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Now, that old Hebrew word that this comes from might mean a little more resist. Don't resist it. The Greek translation of that would be, don't make light of it. So you have all of that kind of flavor here in the word despise. Don't resist it. Don't make light of it. Don't despise it. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of expressions of this in the Old Testament too. Job, and if anyone knew how to take the chastening of the Lord, Job sure did. Job 5:17, he says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. That's quite a statement from Job. Now, James, in speaking about Job, James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so, as God's son, don't despise it. Rather, be happy about it. And be happy about it because, number one, you are God's child. It means that He loves you and He's making you better. He's not leaving you alone. He's making you better. He's still working on you. I thought of that little song that, you know, that the kids used to sing. Did your kids sing that? He's still working on me. You know, we have a home video made years ago when our son Michael who now, you know, has two kids of his own, but he was just a little guy. And Michael had this frog of a voice. He spoke like this when he was a little boy, you know. And it was so funny. We have this home video, and we were showing these old slides, you know, we had of our wedding. So you know how you had a screen up there and a bright light on it? And so as soon as the bright light would come on, the kids would get up and perform, you know. So here's Michael, and he's standing in front of the screen, and he's singing that song, "He's Still Working on Me." Well, you know, do you remember the old TV movie, The Wizard of Oz? And you remember Munchkin Land? And you remember those little guys who said, "We represent the lollipop girl"? You know, that's exactly what Michael looks like when he's singing this song. But he knew it, and he got up and sang it. "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." And that's exactly what God is still doing to us. Now, remember then that you have parents, and you have teachers, and you have coaches, and all of those people who are working on you too. And God uses them to do His work on you. That's a great thing. I remember in high school football, you know, most of us did that in high school. But the worst thing about that was summer practice, you know. 100 degrees, humidity, you put on all of this equipment, they make you run and sweat. Not only that, if you're a freshman or so, you're getting beat up again by the older, you know, and everything's going wrong. And besides that, the coach is yelling at you. You know, he's standing off to the side, and he's yelling at everything that you do. And I remember one time, our coach, Coach Wilhelm, is a good man, one time he stopped, and we all stopped and stood there. And he said to us, he said, "Guys, I just want you to understand this. If I didn't care anything about you, I wouldn't yell at you." You know, that made a world of difference to me. And then I realized he's trying to make me better. He's putting me through this so I'd be a better player. And I always remember that. And you know, that's exactly what God does. So don't despise it. Don't resist it or make light of it. God is using all of these things to train you and make you better. Secondly, also in verse 11, we shouldn't be weary of it. So he says, "Neither be weary then of his correction." Hebrews 12 added, "Nor faint." Remember, "nor faint when thou art corrected of him." You remember again Job saying these words, don't you? "What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's the way it ought to be in our lives, and I think it should be. Now, you can get weary, and it's a natural thing for us to do, so we have to guard it. You know why? Because sometimes chastisement comes on us suddenly, doesn't it? Sometimes a fire in a house, sometimes an accident in a car, sometimes an illness, you know, is prescribed to you, whatever. And it comes suddenly, and it's almost like a tragedy. And yet God will take you through that, and God will even teach you things from it. Sometimes chastisement is extended, where we would like it to be just one day, you know, or just a short time. And it goes on and on and on and on. Don't be weary of that. And it's exhausting. I mean, you just feel tired, and you say to yourself, "Lord, why me? Why is this happening?" It could even be painful. Sometimes you're lying flat on your back in a hospital bed saying, "Why me?" And it's painful. And yet, in all things, God watches over us and takes care of us. I think we should see all of life as God's chastisement, that is, God's school, in everything that is in life. There's the good and the bad. There's the easy and the difficult. There are the things we understand and the things we don't understand. But as Paul said, we press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when we get on the other side and look back, we will see in everything in our life how God used that for our good. All things work together for good. To them who love God, and to them are the called according to His purpose. So in Hebrews 12 and verse 12, he said, "Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Have you ever been running along? If you're one of those joggers or you're running a race, do you ever feel like that? Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. I love this verse in Psalm 118, where David says, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. If the Lord will leave me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, then I want to walk that path." That's what David is saying. And so we shouldn't be weary of it. Now, let me say this too. I'm a pastor speaking to his people. I'm a pastor speaking to the church. The church is part of this process, as I said, the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Word of God in your hands, and the church of Jesus Christ in your life. And that's why all over the world today, being Sunday, the Lord's Day, people have gathered together into churches like ours, small or large or whatever, and gathered together, can I say, to be chastened by the Lord, to be trained. Sometimes you hear a message and it brings conviction to you. You need it. Sometimes it encourages you and say, amen, you need that. Sometimes you shake hands with a brother or sister, and you don't know what kind of trial they're going through, but you encourage them, and you didn't even realize it. And then somebody else encourages you. The local church of Jesus Christ, God has designed for this purpose. And so I'm saying, come, participate, learn. It's a training place. It's supposed to be tough. It isn't just for your entertainment. It's not just so you go away saying, wow, wasn't that wonderful? It's so that you grow, so that you're trained, and you need this church. It is the New Testament. It is what the New Testament is about. So listen and apply it and encourage it. All right, let's go to the other verse. Besides looking at chastisement from our perspective, there's God's perspective too, of course. You see in verse 12, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And again, for whom the Lord loveth. Are you one of those? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? In that case, the Lord's love is upon you in an electing way, in a special way, in a way that blesses your life. Well, number one, he corrects out of love. And I'm glad that he does. And you remember, again, in Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Because what son is there that a father doesn't chasten? Of course a father does that. And he does it out of love. And he chastises us out of love. Listen to these two psalms by David again. Psalm 94:12. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. Blessed is that man. Happy is that man. And 119:75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. God in his faithfulness has afflicted you and brought these things into your life. So how important is that in your life? The conviction of the Holy Spirit? You know, you say, well, I don't want to sit under the preaching of God's Word because it always makes me feel bad. Well, you need that too, don't you? And sometimes it encourages you, and that's a great thing. So we correct children because we love them. Isn't it a lot easier to correct your own children than somebody else's children? You know, praise the Lord for those special people called teachers who know how to discipline other people's children, because it's a hard thing to do. You know, when you correct your own children, you ever heard somebody saying, all right, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you, you know? Well, that's a father talking to his child. If you're disciplining somebody else's child, you might say, this is going to hurt you a lot more. It's going to hurt me. That doesn't bother me at all, you know. So it's hard. I'm just saying it's hard. And the point is that God disciplines us with that tough love that a parent has for the child. And when you do that to your own child, much less to your grandkids, you know, I we were hard on our kids, and then we say to our kids, don't be so hard on those kids, you know, it's that special love that you have, and yet it's necessary. You know children need that. Well, you know that God knows you need it, and you need all of those things in your life. So you remember Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. You don't joy it while it's going on, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. It brings you a life of peace to those who are exercised thereby. So he corrects us out of love. That's good. Secondly, he corrects us as a father then. For he says, as the father. In other words, this little simile here, as a father does it. You know, how important is a parent's correction in a child's life? And here, even a father, if you take a father and a mother, both of their influences into a child are so important. And a father does this training in a child so that he reflects what God is doing in our lives. And one of the problems with not having a correct discipline from a father is you don't understand correct discipline from God. And so God has placed fathers in a unique position, as well as mothers, who teach both sons and daughters on both sides. They teach us these things. And we do it under God's direction and under God's control so that these children will see God as Father and understand how to walk with Him. And by the way, folks, God has greater purposes than we do, right? You know, the writer of Hebrews said, well, they do it for their own pleasure. They do it for a little while. But God does it with you in mind. Remember these words from the Lord Jesus? Luke 11, he said, if a son ask bread of any of you that are a father, will you give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Then he says, if you then being evil, sinners that is, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so if you can look back and realize that, you know, my mom and dad did the best they could and train me in a good way, whether I was rebellious or not, they did a good job. We can look at God and say, He's always doing right. He's always doing this with my interest in mind. And so remember this, folks. Number one, He is your heavenly Father. He looks on you like a father, and He is a father. He knows all about you. He knows every thought of your mind. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows everything you're doing. He knows the future. He knows what will be in your life, doesn't he? He's God. And so looking down the road, he can see what you need. He knows why to train you now for what's going to come in your future. And not only that, he sees everyone that you will affect in your life and everyone that will affect you. And so he's working in all of those people's lives, and he's working in you so that he can work in somebody else's life. And he's working in their life so that they can work in your life, and on down to generation after generation. What God is putting together in this world is amazing in what we call his providence and his sovereignty. And so understand that, and you'll not be weary, and you'll not faint when you're chastised of him. Well, this is commencement time, right? Funny word for graduation. You know, the beginning, the commencing. You know that when you get out of school, now life begins, you know. It's been hard. School's not easy. You need to be there. But now you commence. Now you go on from there. So let me say it this way. When you came to Jesus Christ as your Savior, it was your commencement. When you came to him as Savior and he became your heavenly Father and you became his child, now his school of training just begins. And for the rest of your life, he is guarding and he is watching and he's teaching and he's protecting and he's doing all of these things that you need so that you will be what he wants you to be. So enjoy school while you're in it, because this is what even eternity will be when we're with him. I hope you know him as Savior, and I hope that he's a father to you like that. Stand with me now, if you will, and let's stand and bow our heads in prayer, and we're going to sing a song in just a minute, but let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask him to speak to our hearts in the way that he wants to. Let's pray. Father, now we thank you for the chastising work that you do in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that we can even call you Father, and that you speak to us as my sons, my daughters, my children. And Father, we know what a special arrangement that is, and we thank you for it. And yet we know, as this gospel's been preached around the world today, whosoever will may come. You love the whole world, that whosoever believes in you can have everlasting life. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be those good examples to the world. Help us also, Father, to follow your leadership, that we might be usable servants before you. And then, Father, we might enjoy you throughout all eternity. Bless now as we think about these things. And as your Spirit speaks to our heart, I pray, Father, that you would move each and every one of us in the way that we need. If someone within the sound of my voice, whether here or later on a recording, hears this and doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would work on that heart in the way that is needed. And I pray, Father, that we as your children would follow you in every way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing a song of invitation in just a moment, and